Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
There needs to be in us a desire to meditate on that. So this is taken from Zechariah 9:17. How great is His goodness? How great His beauty? Grain shall make a young man flourish, and new wine the young women. Grain is a sign of strength, and wine is a celebration of joy. And so when we behold His goodness and we behold His beauty, there is both strength and joy at the same time, according to Zechariah. So, Father, we lift up the Word. We lift up our hearts. We pray that the Holy Spirit would have His way, that we would hear not from men, but we would hear from Your living Word and also from the Spirit as He applies it to our life. Lord, I just ask to be a conduit of Your grace and Your Spirit to bring forth what You've given me for the church today. Amen. So I want to talk first about God's goodness and beauty, which we're really talking about His glory. When we talk about the goodness of God or the beauty of God, we are talking about His glory. This verse right here in Zechariah 9:17 that I read, how great is His goodness? If you analyze this particular Hebrew word, you will see that it's related to a word called doxa, and that means glory. So you cannot separate God's goodness from His glory. His glory is His goodness. They are synonymous. The goodness of God is the glory of God. We see this in places like Exodus 33, when God says to the people of Israel, He says, I will make My goodness pass before you. Notice this. I will make My goodness pass before you. He is talking about His presence, His glory. Listen to what He says here. While My glory passes by. So goodness and glory. He says, My goodness passing by. And then He says, My glory passing by. The goodness of God is the glory of God. When we look at creation and all the goodness, we're looking at the glory of God. Everything that is good is the glory of God. How about this? How great His beauty? Notice the word doxa again. The word related to this is doxa. That's the same word glory. So when we talk about God being beautiful, we're talking about the glory of God. His glory is beauty. We see it here in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies have proclaimed His handiwork. Day to day they pour out speech. Night to night they reveal knowledge. Everything that God has created was good. It's fallen now, but it still has all the earmarks of His goodness. And we see His beauty, therefore we see His glory. Three primary words that are used for glory in the Bible. If that's God, tell Him I'm working here. And tell Him also that I'm listening. The one word for glory in the Hebrew, which occurs every time you see the word glory in the Old Testament, it's usually the word kabod. Now, around this time of year, you've used this word, probably if you're a big fan of what? What? Okay. Ichabod. Ichabod is taken from the kabod. Does anybody know what Ichabod means? And by the way, never name your child Ichabod, because it means the glory of the Lord has departed. You never want to use that word Ichabod. Ichabod was cursed from the beginning. The glory of the Lord has departed him. So the word Ichabod is used in the Old Testament, but the word we want to focus in is kabod. Kabod literally means, again, glory, honor. It deals with His richness. As I said, this glory is connected to His goodness. It also carries with the connotation of being heavy. When something is heavy, it's full of glory. If you call somebody a heavyweight, you mean that they got a lot of substance there. I mean, well, I don't know what you mean when you call somebody a heavyweight, but if somebody's a big hitter, heavy hitter, we're talking about that there's a substance behind it. That's kabod. The other word that is used in the New Testament for glory is doxa. Now, there's another word that we use a lot, and it's called doxology, right? This comes from the word doxa. Does anybody know what the word doxology means? What's that? Somebody said it, I think. Give praise. It's all about expressing praise to God. What we did earlier today was a doxology. We sang songs in praise to God. Doxa and kabod. But there's one other one that I haven't mentioned because it's not really in the Bible. Let me go to doxa. You see, it's anything belonging to God, sun, moon, stars, the creation, His magnificence, His preeminence, His majesty. But the other word is Shekinah. How many people have heard of the Shekinah glory? Now, Shekinah literally means he causes to dwell. So when His presence was in the temple, He caused His presence to dwell there. And so they called it Shekinah glory. Shekinah kabod. He caused His glory to dwell in their midst. There's a common glory, which is creation around us, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything God created. Everyone can see the glory of God in creation. But there's an uncommon glory. And what is the uncommon glory? Because this is really where the church needs to be, concentrating on this uncommon glory, the uncommon glory of God, according to David, according to all the spiritual writers. He says, out of Zion is the perfection of beauty. Remember, beauty is connected to glory. Out of Zion is the perfection of beauty. God shines forth out of Zion. What is He referring to? He's referring to the Holy of Holies. He's referring to the presence of God. Where does God shine out of now? Us. We are now the Holy of Holies. God is present within us. So God shines forth out of us, at least He should. And this is the uncommon glory that is actually within us. In the Old Testament, the glory of God manifested upon the earth. There it was in a cloud. It was also in fire. The book of Deuteronomy says, behold, the Lord our God has shown us His glory and greatness. We have heard His voice in the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speaks with men and men shall live. As soon as God speaks to the children of Israel, you know what they say? Enough! We don't want to hear your voice again. Moses, you go up there, you hear His voice, you come back and you tell. And by the way, this is the way men are. How many of you have heard God this week? Or do you just wait to come to church and say, oh, speak to the pastor, you know, tell him what I need to hear. Let me say this. If you're living off of that, you're not living. You need to hear God's voice for yourself. There's only two primary meditations upon the glory of God. If you want to meditate upon the glory of God, you have got to free yourself from meditating on the glory of men. Again, this goes back to our idea that we tend to exalt men. We tend to exalt God's creation. There's only two meditations. You either meditate upon God or meditate upon men. And sometimes we think we're meditating on God, but we're meditating on the goodness of men. Remember Paul, when he comes and he's preaching and there's a crippled man and God says to Paul in His spirit, heal this man or this man has faith. And so this man who has never walked in his entire life, who's been crippled, Paul goes over, he lays hands, he heals him, and the people immediately do this. They say, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. They want to worship Paul because Paul has power. They want to lift up Paul. And let me just tell you, Paul's reaction to being lifted up, to be exalted, to be put forth as being the reason why this man was healed. He is appalled. Paul is appalled by that. It says when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard this, when they heard that the people were trying to exalt them, to hold them up as being great, he tears his garments. He rushes into the crowd. He cries out as loud as he can and he says, listen! What are you doing? Why are you doing these things? We are men with like nature, just like you. What are you doing? What is Paul trying to do? All the glory has to go in this direction to what God has done, not us. Listen, he goes on to say, we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things. What are the vain things? The worship of men, the worship of pagan gods. You need to turn to the living God who made the heavens, who made the earth, who made the sea and all this. You need to attach yourself. I'm here to tell you, attach yourself to God. Worship God. Get us out of the picture. We're just conduits. You ever wonder why God chose this motley crew right here? Why he chose me, gave me dyslexia, gave me ADD, made me sit in the back of the class. I graduated, I think, at the very bottom of my high school class. Very bottom. There wasn't too many people stupider than me. Oh, please. Oh, Lord. Oh, Pastor. Why would you lament that? Because listen what the Bible says. God chose what is low and despised in the world. Even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why did he choose people like us? Listen, here's the key. Listen to this. Here it is. That no flesh should glory in his presence. You understand? We have a beautiful church awaiting us. But if you want to give glory to any person in here, be careful. Because I want to tell you something. As much as Rusty did, as much as I did, Jay, elders, deacons, it's God. It is 110% God. And as a matter of fact, I will say this. I think we got in the way. I think God could have had this done 10 years prior if he didn't have such clumsy instruments. So there's no glory in us. Listen, judges. Remember Gideon? Why did God want to do this with an army of 300 instead of 32,000? Listen to what God says. Lest Israel boast over me saying, my hand, we did it. Look at what we did. Do you understand? When I look around and look at our church, I go, yeah, we shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't. I mean, but we didn't. God did that, and so God receives all the glory. Listen, Deuteronomy. Beware, this is speaking about as God led the children of Israel through the desert. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and my might has gotten me this wealth, the promised land. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power. It's all grace and nothing but grace. Isaiah says, I am the Lord, this is my name, my glory I give to no one. The glory goes all to God and not to us. If anything, God had to slow down. 1 Corinthians 1:31, for it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. How many people want to glory in the Lord? And listen, if you glory in men, you're going to miss everything. The key to meditation upon God's glory is to stop looking at things in an earthly way and look at things from a divine perspective. Old Testament prophets that are quoted in the New Testament. So to me, these Old Testament prophets, the ones who see God the clearest are going to be quoted the most in the New Testament. Hosanna is quoted 6 times in the New Testament. Jeremiah is quoted 5. Zechariah 7. Does anybody want to know who is quoted the most in the New Testament? Which one of the prophets? Try to guess. It's Isaiah. And it's not even close. It's not even close. 55 times. Why is Isaiah quoted? Because he saw more. Because he spent more time in the presence of God. Seeing God. Knowing God. The stuff that Isaiah said, and I'll show you in just a second. But the guy who's at the top of the list, because of the book of Psalms, is who? David. David wrote most of the Psalms. He's at 68. Both of these guys, David and Isaiah, you can learn something about if you want to glorify God or if you want the glory of God to be reflected off of your life, you've got to have this attitude. This is David. One thing I've asked of the Lord. There's only one thing I'm seeking, that I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That's all I want is his presence. I just want to be in the Ichabod. I want to be in the doxa. I want to be in the glory. Listen, but he also wanted this. He wanted to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord to inquire in the temple. What does this mean? To gaze upon the Lord and inquire. This word gaze means to look and to observe, but it also means, and it's especially appropriate to people who get visions, and such as the minds of the prophets or oracle revelations. He wanted to be in God's presence so he could hear God and know what God wanted him to do so he could carry it out. I want to gaze. In other words, I want God to reveal me and show to me what He wants. Listen, Isaiah the same way. Isaiah gets this vision. He says, I saw the Lord sitting on His throne high and lifted up, and His train was filling the temple. And above Him stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. And he goes on to say that the seraphims were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is what? Full of glory. But here's what Isaiah does, and this is the key for us. He says, woe to me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people, unclean lips. And I've seen, in other words, he saw his sin. In the light of God's glory, all he could think about was how sinful he was. And he humbled himself before the presence of God. And so immediately one of the seraphim flew, took a burning coal, placed it on his mouth, touched his tongues, and took his sins away. Think about this. Old Testament prophet, his sins being atoned for. Why? So he could stand in the presence of God and hear the presence of God. Listen. And so the first thing he hears God say to him is, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? I'm looking for a man. I want to send somebody. I need somebody to go. And what does he say? He says, here I am, send me. I've come into your presence to see your glory, but I've also come to obey. And so speak, and then I will go. And so God says, go and say to the people, you keep on hearing, but you don't understand. You keep on seeing, but you don't perceive. Go tell these people that they don't understand anything and they don't perceive anything. And so for his whole life, he told people what God was going to do, but nobody understood or perceived it. And if you read Isaiah, you go, man, I don't know how the Jewish people don't understand the Messiah from reading Isaiah. I don't understand. But they don't understand. They're blinded. Listen, have a passion for two things. First of all, to know God, to be in His presence. And second of all, to obey God. Here am I. Send me. I'm here to know. We are called to reflect the glory of God. Do you know that? We're not the glory of God, but we're called to reflect the glory of God. Does anybody know that the moon has absolutely zero light or zero life? It's just a big dust ball. In many ways, this reflects us. We're a big dust ball floating in space. But when the sun reflects off the moon can light up the whole earth, or at least that portion of the earth. Right? You ever see a full moon at night? It lights up everything. This is a beautiful image of the church. We're called to dwell in a darkness with dark people, but if we begin to reflect the moon, we'll light everything up. And people will begin to see, not our glory, but the glory we were reflecting from the sun to them. How do we do this? Listen what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 3:19. We all with unveiled faces. Moses had a veiled face. The people of Israel were veiled. But we don't have a veil anymore. We are beholding the glory of the Lord. And if we're beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed. We are being transfigured. By being in His presence, the glory is beginning to shine off of us. Listen. We are being transformed into what? It says into the same image. We are being transformed. We're becoming like Christ. We're going from one degree of glory to the next. Let me just say this. This Tom here, if this Tom here met Tom 10 years ago, I'd be like, this guy, I don't know. I don't know if I really like hanging around with him. If this Tom met the Tom 30 years ago, he'd be like, oh no. Oh, no. Do you understand? And that should be all of our journeys. We are being transformed into the image of Christ from one degree of glory. What I know now, which I didn't know then, it's a lot. Listen, how does this happen on a daily basis? We are connected to the vine. We are the vine that is connected to the we are the branches connected to that vine. We are abiding in Him. Without Him, we do nothing. And by abiding in Him, here it is, by abiding in Him on a daily basis, we begin to send out God's glory. Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified. In other words, His glory goes out as we abide. You begin to bear fruit. Listen here. Listen to Jesus very close. No, this is actually Paul, and then we're going to get to Jesus. We are His workmanship, created in Christ for what? For good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk into. I always say this. What are the good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk into? If you look at Jesus, you'll see how He did the good works of the Father. He says in Matthew, let your light shine before others so they may see what? Your good works. And what will they do? They'll give glory to God. Glory and good works are connected together. The more good works we do, the more they glorify God. But here is the key. Jesus, talking about the good works that he did. Listen, the Father who dwells in me does what? Does his work. This is Jesus. Jesus saying, I don't even do my work. I don't even wake up in the morning and go, what do I want to do? I say, Father, you who dwell in me, you do your works in me. Next part. Philippians. For it is God who works in you, right? Both to will and to work, what? His good pleasure. If you're not bowing your knee to this Father's will, his desire to work through you in good works, you're not really living the Christian life. Paul says to the church at Rome, listen, I'm going to appeal to you by the mercies of God that you present your body daily as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. You lie down. And something on the altar is dead. It's laying down. It's saying, I have no life. Take me. Here I am. And then, in the process of surrender, after not being conformed to this world, you are going to experience again a transformation. What's going to happen? Your mind is going to become renewed. You'll be able to test and discern what the will of God is. You'll be able to do what is what? Good and acceptable and perfect. The good works. Well, Pastor, I believe letting our light shine by going out and picking up garbage in Oneida. That might be one thing. But that's not it. I'm not saying God can't tell us to go pick up garbage in Oneida. And by the way, no one said that to me, so just in case you're wondering, who said to the pastor we should pick up? Well, maybe we will. I don't know. Good works is this. Father, what do you want us to do today? And then doing it. Paul was led of the Spirit. All of the disciples led of the Spirit. You're no different. I'm no different. And if we do this, here's the beauty of the glory of God. Isaiah again, you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. I want to be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. You're going to be a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is my desire. This word diadem means to be wrapped around the head. I want to be wrapped around the mind of God. I want to know the mind of God. I want to be wrapped around it. I want to be saturated in His glory, beholding His beauty and His presence. And then I want to carry out what He wants. Closing with Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, talking about why we don't see more transformation in the church. Why is it that some Christians, although they have heard many sermons, how many of you heard many sermons? So slowly advanced in the divine life, it is because they neglect their private communion with God and do not thoroughly meditate on God's word. The fruit hangs upon the tree, but they will not put forth effort to pick it. The water flows at their feet, but they will not stoop down to drink. Listen, folks, if this is all you're getting, you're not getting enough.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.